If you have a Bible, if you would please turn with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 2 this evening. Romans chapter 2. I'd like to deal with the issue of God's judgment. As we left chapter 1, we see the Apostle Paul was very eager to preach the gospel at Rome. Why? Well, simply because he understood the wrath of God. He understood that God's wrath against sin. And as we follow on, as we move into chapter 2, there is an emphasis upon the judgment of God. God's judgment, in a nutshell, is simply this: God will judge sin. God will judge sin. And that is the emphasis of chapter 2 of the book of Romans, verses 1 to 16. So this evening we'll be noting the doctrine of the judgment of God. What does the Bible teach concerning the judgment of God? There are some principles in these verses that help us to understand more fully God's judgment. Let's take a moment and read verses 1 and 2, and then we'll pray for God's guidance as we study the Word. Verses 1 and 2 reads, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of your mercies. We're mindful of the fact that we are what we are by your grace and by your grace alone. We ask and pray as we spend these few moments in your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us into truth. And Lord, give us a greater understanding of your judgment to come upon sin. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul said back in chapter 1, verse number 15, "I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." The Apostle Paul was keen to preach the gospel in this city, the city of Rome, the superpower of that day, a city that had no less than 3 million people in population. It was the hub, it was the headquarters of the great Roman Empire. The city was full of wealth, the city was full of luxury, the city was full of immorality. The city was full of wastefulness, wasteful in its usage of resources. The city was full of idolatry, to the point of where the Roman worshipped the emperors at hand. Each emperor was a god in their own right, and each Roman citizen had to affirm their love and loyalty to the emperor of that day. They were seen as gods. And the Apostle Paul understood the fact that God's wrath, he understood concerning God's feelings concerning sin. And as we move into chapter 2, we continue that thought that the Apostle Paul is keen to preach the gospel, because the Apostle Paul has a measure of understanding concerning the judgment of God. And for those of us that are Bible-believing and Bible-living Christians, if we would only just have a greater understanding concerning the judgment of God, it might motivate us just a little bit more to be a witness for Jesus Christ. If we had a greater comprehension concerning God's judgment, judgment to come upon sin, then I believe it will motivate us to witness for Christ more fervently. The Apostle Paul was mindful of the imminent wrath of God upon sinful man. He was mindful of the downward spiral upon which the Romans were on, and he was convinced concerning God's judgment there in verse number 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. The Apostle Paul was mindful. He had some understanding concerning the judgment of God. I'd like for you for a moment just to turn back to chapter 1, please. And note then verse number 24, the little phrase, God also gave them up. Just make a note of that in verse 24. Then move down to verse number 26, please, and note, God gave them up once again. And then go to verse number 28. It reads, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. I'd like for you to note the fact that God gave them up. And that simply means that the Apostle Paul understood the fact that God at times removes his hand of restraint on sin and allows the sinner to plunge himself into the full cup of God's judgment. See, in a sense, God does restrain the extent of sin. But there comes a point of which God just lets go. And he allows sinful man to just let loose, so to speak, and to determine their own destiny, which ultimately is judgment before a holy God. And we note here, because of the depravity and the defiance of sin outlined here in chapter 1, verses 18 to 32, that God said that I'm just letting go. And man will just reap the full consequences of their sin. And it's with that thought in mind we move into chapter 2 when we note some principles concerning God's judgment. And as I've said, God's judgment in a nutshell is simply this: God will judge sin. Let's note lesson number 1 from verse number 1 concerning the judgment of God, and that is that God's judgment includes all. Includes all. Note then verse number 1, it reads, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man." This is in reference to all mankind. All of mankind will face the judgment of God. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible reads, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment." As we study the doctrine of the judgment of God, we must be mindful, first and foremost, that it includes all men. We will all give an account of our lives to God. Now here in verse number 1, God addresses the issue of those that will point the finger at others and say, for example, "I'm not as bad as so and so. I've never murdered anybody. I've never committed adultery. I've never killed anybody," and so on. So he addresses the hypocrite here in verse number 1. Those that would point the finger at others, and those individuals need to be mindful. And my friend, you might be one of those individuals listening to this message this evening, but bear in mind there are three fingers pointing back at you. So we can point the finger and say, "Well, I've never committed adultery. I've never committed fornication." Well, the Lord Jesus said, if you've lusted in your heart against the opposite agenda, you have committed adultery, you have committed fornication. "Well, Pastor, I've never murdered anybody." Well, the Bible teaches us if you have anger against a person, then you have committed the sin of murder. So the Lord Jesus reveals to us concerning his judgment that it is all inclusive. In Matthew chapter 7 verses 1 to 6, it makes reference to those that will judge others and point the finger at others and try to pull out the little splinter out of the eye of another. And yet the Bible teaches us that for those that are diligent in such activities, then they have a greater beam in their own eye. See? So concerning the judgment of God first and foremost, it's all inclusive. It includes the do-gooders. Those would say, well, I'm a good person. I'm a moral person. I'm full of good works. I'm religious. It doesn't matter, my friend. All will face the judgment of God. It is all inclusive. And verse number 1 specifically addresses those that are hypocritical. They're pointing the finger at others, and by doing so, they have 3 fingers pointing back at themselves. If people are going to measure themselves by somebody else, it should be the Lord Jesus Christ. All grounds for hypocrisy and pride will be swept away when we measure our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you might not be as bad as the murderer there in that prison cell behind those prison bars. But my friend, the Bible teaches us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, God's judgment is all inclusive. All of mankind will be judged by a holy God. And nobody can stand back and point the finger and say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. But yet James chapter 2 verse number 10 tells us, if you sin in one area of the law, then you are guilty of all. So concerning God's judgment, lesson number 1, it's all inclusive. The Bible reads, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. Lesson number 2 is found in verse number 2. I'd like for us to note concerning the judgment of God, and that is God's judgment is according to truth, the truth of the Word of God. Note then verse number 2, for we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. We are judged according to God's standards, not our own. You and I will be judged according to God's standards, not our own. The Bible is our final authority as Bible-believing Christians for faith and practice. And so likewise, the Bible is the final authority concerning judgment to come. God's judgment is not subjective. It is grounded in the Word of God. You and I will be judged according to the Word of God. When that religious man by the name of Nicodemus, with all of his good deeds, approached the Lord Jesus at night, the Lord Jesus set the standard and simply said to that man, except the man be born again, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. See, Nicodemus was a good man. He was a moral man. He was an instructor of the Word of God. But yet, he was judged by the Lord Jesus according to the truth of God, the words of the only begotten Son. See, God's judgment is according to truth. In John chapter 17, verse 17, the Bible reads that the Word of God is truth. It is the absolute truth. Standard. We will be judged according to the truth of the Word of God. So concerning the judgment of God, my friend, it's all inclusive. And secondly, it's according to biblical truth. The parable of the publican and the Pharisee, there in Luke chapter 18, where the Pharisee made reference to the fact that he fasted and he tithed. And yet the publican just cried out for mercy. And the Bible teaches us that publican walked away justified. Because man is not justified by works. Man is justified by faith. By faith alone. See, we don't determine our measure of judgment. God's truth is the standard. The Bible is the line. The Bible is our authority, and you and I will be judged according to the Word of God. The Bible teaches us, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. The Bible teaches us in Revelation chapter 20 verse 15, if thy name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life, you are cast into the lake of fire. That is not man's words, that's the Word of God. And the Bible teaches us that God's judgments are according to truth. It is the absolute standard of the Bible. It is not man's opinion. It is not subjective. It is not changeable. God's truth is set, and you and I will be judged according to biblical truth. Lesson number three this evening concerning the judgment of God is found in the third verse. And that is that nobody will escape the judgment of God. Note then verse number 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things, and doest the same? He's in reference here to the hypocrite. Those of us that point the finger at others and say, well, look how bad he is. And then the end of the third verse reads, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. You think you're going to escape the judgment of God? See, the judgment of God, my friend, is all-inclusive. It's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. The judgment of God is according to biblical truth. I don't set the standards. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. I didn't make that up. That's the Word of God. That's true. And lesson number three, nobody will get under the radar, so to speak. There is no escape. Nobody gets under the radar. The judgment of God is upon all mankind, according to the standard of truth, the Bible. And nobody will escape. Nobody will get under the radar. Human judgment can be mishandled, can it not? It can be escaped from. It can be excused. For example, a prisoner could escape or receive a light sentence. But when it comes to the judgment of God, nobody will be overlooked. Nobody will be missed. Nobody will be excused. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? For all those that rejected Noah's call to repentance back in his day, they could not escape. And the Bible teaches that every living thing died upon the face of the earth. Why? Because they could not escape the judgment of God. My friend, there is no escape. Nobody will get under the radar. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's what the Bible teaches us. There is no escape. Nobody will escape the judgment of God. The judgment of God upon all mankind, according to the Bible, is as sure as the sun's position to the earth, as one man said. It's sure. It's definite. There's no escape. Look at verse number 4, please. A further lesson concerning the judgment of God. O despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Lesson number 4 concerning God's judgment. God will judge those that belittle, that's the key word, that belittle the obvious goodness of God. God's judgment. God will judge those that belittle the demonstration of God's goodness. See, God reveals himself in the world through tokens of good. Even to the unsaved. The Bible teaches us that it rains upon the just and upon the unjust. And see, man will be held accountable for that. God reveals his goodness. And the Bible teaches us that God's judgment will fall upon man who refuses to get the message that there are tokens of good all around us. See? And man will be held accountable for that. The word despise there in verse number 4 is in reference to look down upon, to belittle the tokens of God's goodness. Consider the goodness of God that we enjoy. Aren't you thankful that you live in Sydney, Australia? Boy, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you could live in Melbourne, Australia. That'd be tragic. Or Brisbane, Australia. I'm thankful that I live in Sydney, Australia. That's the goodness of God. And if you live in this land, you are rich compared to the majority of the world. We are wealthy people. Oh, but Pastor, I don't have a home in Vaucluse. You don't need to have a home in Vaucluse. You live in Sydney, Australia. You are wealthy. That's a token of God's goodness. The health that you enjoy is a token of God's goodness, my friend. The freedom you have is a token of God's goodness. The order and the health system. But Pastor, I don't like the health system. Thank God we have a health system. But Pastor, I don't like the education system. Thank God we have an education system. Pastor, I don't like the food that I eat. Well, thank God you've got some food to eat. I don't like my clothing. I don't like the house. I don't live like the suburb I live in. Whatever it might be, my friend, we all experience a measure of God's goodness. And God tells us in the Bible, if we don't get the message that God is good to all, will be judged accordingly. How foolish it is for man to despise the goodness of God. See, God will judge those that belittle the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Look at verse number 5, please. A further lesson concerning the judgment of God. God will judge those that belittle His goodness. Look at verse number 5. The Bible also teaches us that God will judge hard-heartedness. God will judge heavily those that are chosen to be hard towards the things of God. Look at verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart or unrepentant heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The expression, treasurest up thyself wrath, pictures the sinner storing away day by day a fresh deposit of wickedness for judgment in the coming day. The judgment of God, when it finally comes, will be righteous judgment. He will weigh every thought and word and deed. The sins of omission as well as the sins of commission will be considered. The effect of each will be considered in all its aspects, its effects on the sinner will be eternal. God will judge the heart that chooses to be hard concerning the things of God. In other words, there is a greater judgment upon the hard-hearted, upon those that are choosing not to repent. And my friend, if you are listening to this message this evening and you are choosing to be hard concerning the gospel message and God's offer of eternal life for you, my friend, then you are inviting a greater measure of God's judgment upon your life. See, it's one thing to be indecisive. It's a crime, it's a greater crime in God's eyes to be hardened to the gospel message. The Bible teaches us they will reap a greater judgment. That's a sobering thought. Hardness of heart invites a greater measure of God's judgment. The Bible likens it to the collection of treasures to one's account. God will judge severely hardness of heart, those that choose to deliberately reject the gospel message. And then we move on in verses 6 to 10, please. I'd like for us to note from these verses that God's judgment is according to justice. We'll state the obvious, will we not? God's judgment is according to justice. It's according to truth, but also God's judgment is just. Note there, please, in verses 6 to 10. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, wrath. This is what they'll reap, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honour, and peace. I like that word, peace. To every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. See, God's judgment is according to justice. The Bible teaches us that faith without works is dead. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. That's in reference to the fact that if we have genuine saving faith, then there will be an outflow of that faith. It will be evident. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And the Bible teaches us that God's judgment is just. God will judge the unrighteous. God will judge the righteous. And the righteous will give evidence of their faith by their outworking. And so likewise, the unrighteous will give evidence of their rejection of faith by their works. God's judgment is just. God will reward the righteous with eternal life. But God will judge the unrighteous with hellfire, the Bible teaches us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. See, that's the justice of God. God's love offers eternal life to all. God's justice must judge sin. You cannot have the love of God without the judgment of God. Otherwise, God is not just. If mankind chooses to harden his heart to the things of God, they will reap the consequences of their sins. For the wages of sin is death. For the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. But Jesus said, I've come, and I've come to give life, and I've come to give life more abundantly. But when man chooses to reject that life, that gift of eternal life, then they will reap the wrath and judgment of God in a place called hellfire. My friend, the Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 25 that hell was created for the devil and his angels. But when Jesus Christ died on that old rugged cross, he paid in full for your sin and for my sin so that we can repent and turn to Christ and receive Him as our Saviour and no longer have the wrath of God abiding with us, but have eternal life. That's the love of God. But my friend, if you choose to reject that gift and to rely upon your own strength and your own deeds and your own religion and your own morals to get you to heaven, my friend, you are sadly mistaken. You will reap the judgment of God because you will be judged according to truth. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Oh, my friend, God's judgment is just. Everybody that wakes up in hell are there because they've chosen to be there. That's the justice of God. They've chosen to be there. And my friend, if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior this evening and you find yourself in hell, you are there because you've chosen to reject the truth of the Bible. God's judgment is according to justice. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God will judge sin. Lesson number 7. We're almost there. God's judgment is not partial. Look at verse number 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. God has no favorites. Did you hear me? God has no favorites. In fact, in the book of James chapter 2, the Bible teaches us to play favorites or to have favorites is an evil thought. God is not partial. God's judgment is not partial. See, God has no favorites. The issue of sin will be addressed no matter who you are, where you've been, where you live, how much money you've got in the bank, how many times you've been to church. It doesn't matter. God has no favorites. And this judgment has no favoritism. There's no partiality involved. There in verses 9 and 10, the Bible makes reference to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. That means whether you are religious or not religious, it doesn't matter. God's judgment is just and God plays no favorites. All of us will be held accountable. And that leads us to our next principle concerning the judgment of God. And that is, lesson number 8, we will be held accountable for what we know. Please follow along with me as I read verses 12 to 15. Concerning the judgment of God, we will be held accountable. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Look at verse 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Concerning the doctrine of the judgment of God, lesson number 8, listen to me carefully. We will be held accountable for what we know. Those without law in this passage of Scripture is in reference to the Gentile nations. If you were not a Jew, you were considered a Gentile. They still had the law of God in their hearts. He defines that in verse number 15. The work of the law written in their hearts. So in other words, whether you have the written law, for example, as the nation of Israel had the Ten Commandments, or whether you are without the written moral law, the Bible teaches us we still have the law of God in our hearts, our conscience. And therefore God in His righteous judgment will hold all accountable for the truth they know. The light of the conscience, the light of creation, are God's initial signposts of God's existence and God's offer of eternal life to all mankind. See, we will be held accountable for what we know. My friend, listen to me concerning the judgment of God. Whether a person has the written law before them or whether they have no written law before them and they are a pygmy on the backside of the Congo in West Africa, they have the light of the law. They have truth within their heart that tells them there is a supernatural God. They have creation before them that tells them there is a supreme being, and every man, woman and child will be held accountable for the light they have and what they do with that light. For example, if a person were lost in a dark forest at night, the least glimmer of light would attract him. And if he desired deliverance from the darkness, he would move toward the light, would he not? However, if he had some guilt to hide, he would not respond to the light, except to hide or flee from it, regardless of its dimness and brilliance. Doom awaits all who reject the light of truth in man's conscience, the light of truth within creation, the light of truth within the moral law, the written law. There is no escape. Man will be held accountable for the light they have. Why were there such great amounts of deaths recorded to the enemies of Israel throughout the Old Testament scriptures? Simply because they would not repent. They would not turn to the true and living God. The wages of sin is death. But the few did repent. People like Ruth. People like Rahab. These individuals saw that glimmer of light and they responded to that glimmer of light and they were delivered by faith. And my friend, this evening, God's judgment is sure and you will be judged according to what you know. Because nobody will have a fitting excuse before the Creator on that day of judgment. Nobody will be able to say rightfully before a holy God, "Well, I didn't know." Because God would simply respond, "Well, you've had the law in your heart. You've had the proof of my existence in creation. And you've chosen not to pursue further light." There is no excuse before a holy God. And last but not least, my friend, lesson number 9 concerning the judgment of God, and that is we will ultimately be judged by the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse number 16 it reads, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." My gospel, said the Apostle Paul. It was personal to the Apostle Paul. The gospel of Jesus Christ was personal to him. He had a relationship with the living God. What about you this evening? What have you done with Jesus Christ? My friend, ultimately we will be judged concerning what we have done with the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, ultimate judgment lies within this issue of salvation. Salvation. Whether you have it or not. That is the key subject of the judgment of God. We will be judged according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If people turn from the light of the gospel, they will be severely judged, because God is absolutely righteous. Nobody will die and go to hell and be able to cry out, "Unfair God, unfair God, unfair God." Oh yes, people might attempt to cry out, "This is unfair, this is unjust." But it carries no weight. It will receive no attention, because God's judgment is just. See, the judgments of God are right. God will judge sin. And my friend, this evening, may I warn you concerning the fact that God will judge sin. God's judgment is all-inclusive. God's judgment is according to truth. There is no escape. God will judge those that belittle the evidence of His goodness. God will judge the hard-hearted. God's judgment will be according to justice. God's judgment is not partial. God will hold us all accountable. And last but not least, we will ultimately be judged by what we do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And my friend, if you are not saved this evening, please escape the judgment of God. Please repent tonight and receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and escape the judgment of God, because nobody will escape God's judgment. And for those of us that are Christians here this evening, listen to me. May God help us to understand that God is serious about sin. God will judge sin. Oh yes, He will. Nobody gets away with it. Oh yes, man might think he gets away with sin, but there will come a day in which God will judge sin. And may God help us as His people to be more zealous in warning people concerning the judgment of God. And I'd like to encourage you, believer, this evening, ask God to give you a greater insight concerning His judgment, and I will assure you it will motivate you more to be a witness for Christ. I think we become so blasé and so relaxed because we fail to really comprehend the wrath of God and the judgment of God. And the Apostle Paul said, "I'm ready to preach." He was keen to preach, because he knew there were 3 million people on their way to hell there in that city of Rome. He understood the judgment of God. May God help us to have such understanding as well. Let's bow for prayer.